Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. We offer guitar repair of the highest quality. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store, take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
John, good afternoon. Give me some good news.
There's tons of it. There is very good news in a number of states. I think four of them voted to raise the minimum wage. California and Washington voted for proposals to amend the Constitution to overturn Citizens United. Everybody said yes to marijuana, pretty much. And some really wonderful down ballot progressives won some important races. So I guess we're done.
Did your friend in New York win?
Which one? Oh, no, Zephyr, that horribly no. In fact, she, I believe, as we'll talk about in a moment, I believe she had the Russ Feingold experience, which is her percentage was almost exactly what Clinton's was.
Wow.
And that's a horrible loss because she would have been a terrific member of Congress.
All right. What are your thoughts today?
My thought is that, and I include myself, and I might even pull you in on this one, brother. Our media, the polling elites, our commentators, as well as our political elites, don't spend a lot of time in America. And they were able to convince themselves, and frankly convince a lot of us, that while Trump certainly had supporters, and I saw a lot of that last week as I traveled around the country, that they were clearly passionate supporters, but that, somehow there weren't enough of them that it was going to have an impact, that it was going to actually decide the race. There's simply no question that there's an anger out in America. A real, real disenchantment. And it surfaced. There were some people, clearly, there's a hidden vote, people who didn't acknowledge that they were supporting the guy. But when it surfaced not as a, some sort of quiet objection. This was loud. It was not a silent majority. This was, an impassioned bunch of folks. And what's interesting is that it's quite clear, as you look across the country, that the people who elected Donald Trump president came to vote for him and for his party, which is very interesting because of all the, supposed divisions there. Because have you taken a look in our great state of Wisconsin at the percentage that Hillary Clinton got and the percentage that Russ Feingold got?
Yeah, other than some counties in the south central and southwest Wisconsin, it was pretty similar.
But the actual percentage, I think, is 0.1% apart.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just, as you and I know.
Yeah, there were some places where she might have outdone Feingold in the Ring of Fire, and then there's places in some southwestern counties and south central counties that he did better than she did. Yeah.
But the actual end of the day.
Yeah, pretty similar. Well, look, we saw it with Barrett, in 2010.
And we saw it, by the way, in places like Pennsylvania, other places. Russ Feingold lost. So too did Katie McGinty, who was expected to win in Pennsylvania. And interestingly enough, Maggie Hassan won up in New Hampshire very narrowly, and the Democratic candidate in Nevada won, where Clinton ran a little better. The Democrats ran a little better.
Well, Nevada's just the great example, and I'll miss Harry Reid, the great example of they've got a machine, an operation there, and they've organized those casinos. It's a it's a union state, and it's a state where they know how to get voters out. And unfortunately, those mechanisms that used to exist in Wisconsin and places like Sheboygan and Manitowoc are gone because of the Clintons. Yeah. And now the Clintons are gone.
The who?
Exactly. Some people are. I put up on Facebook this morning that said there is a silver lining. I'll never have to worry about the Clintons running for president again. And some people don't think that was very classy. I didn't mean
really?
It personal. Yeah, I didn't mean it. It's nothing personal. I just think that they're bad for American politics. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. Bill Clinton, 43%, 49%, he never won a majority of the votes. Unlike Barack Obama, who actually did win the majority of votes in both of his campaigns. Hillary Clinton lost the presidency in 2008, lost it again in 2016. I mean, they're not that good at what they do. That's not picking on them personally. I mean, I'm not sure I could get elected president.
Here's
I didn't push
right.
Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders aside in order to do it.
Here's Cokie Roberts, one of your favorites.
Well, I think that she will give a gracious concession speech. I mean, you have to feel very badly for her. You know, what a hard-fought campaign, and she's got to be feeling like she's let all kinds of people down, not only her supporters, but all of those women who were hoping to see history. So it's got to be very, very tough for her. But I think she goes forward. She can do all kinds of things.
And, of course, Cokie Roberts, a big Hillary Clinton supporter. I can't tell you, John, the anger on my phones today about Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC.
In fact, I literally was talking to somebody a minute ago who said, you know, exactly the same thing. Look, here's the bottom line. I said to a number of people today that, you know, I think somebody ought to head up to the DNC offices and nail a bill of particulars to the door. I mean, this is time for a reformation. I mean, this is
whoa,
serious.
Whoa. Reformation.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. Biblical. All right? I mean, these folks, well, no, Sly, you tell me, okay? And if I'm
Martin Luther Nichols.
Well, if I'm going too far here, you tell me, but they lost to Donald Trump.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. I want you to, make a prediction for me. Not a prediction, but I want you to make a guess for me. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I mean, this may not be the best week for my punditry.
Yeah. Well, mine either. And by the way, you know, I don't feel guilty for missing this one because I will tell you, I honestly had more confidence that even with a terrible candidate like Hillary Clinton, that American voters, even if they were in desperate economic straits, wouldn't vote for someone who's cheated little people his entire life. I misjudge the American people. They're far. I think we always think of people in economic straits as being virtuous and well-meaning. You know, a lot of them really aren't. A lot of them aren't necessarily virtuous. A lot of them are just selfish.
But also, a lot of them aren't in the hardest economic states. There are people who are hurting who voted for Trump. There's no doubt of that. But you know, if you look at the data, I mean, Trump's strongest area is sort of the middle class, right? Or the kind of a working middle class. And, you know, so this is, and they were voting against the poor, right? I mean, the poor actually didn't support Trump. And so we have a fascinating thing for, you know, we've got one of the first populist movements in history that is against the poor.
Had this election been held without James Comey's letter to Congress about Uma Abedin, and by the way, remarkable, the networks today, split screen as Hillary's delivering her concession speech with Uma Abedin crying. Had that letter from the FBI not been released, would Hillary Clinton be president today?
Probably. Because so many of these results in these states are actually very close.
Well, let me
really tight results. Yeah.
Then let me ask.
And then can I say one other thing too? A number of these Senate candidates would have won as well.
Then let me ask you this: had Julian Assange and the Russians not done the WikiLeaks stuff, would Hillary Clinton be president?
You know, I'm going to be a little more cautious on that one because that was coming out pretty heavy through the whole process, and there's some. You know, a lot of revelations, and I think people are actually kind of acclimatized to that. And so, you know what I mean? I think that it may have done some harm along the way to her candidacy, but I don't think that was getting the same. I don't think that begins to rival the FBI.
I will tell you, I think the 1-2 punch, because the truth is, and I'm not sure all the public polls had recorded it. But I, you know, I see private polls, and I'm sure you see some of them as well. Hillary was beginning to go down the week before Comey put out that letter.
Yeah. She was having her troubles, there's no doubt. Yeah, yeah. And I think some of that you can tie to a whole bunch of things. Look, I'm not underestimating any of this. Can I say one other thing that I happen to think was a factor? There was a lot of days during that fall campaign where she was doing debate prep. Like 20 days or, you know, some unimaginable number. And, you know, they teased Donald Trump. They said, well, if you did more debate prep and less of those rallies in rural areas and small towns and small cities, maybe, you know, you'd do better in the debates. Well, here's the funny thing, Sly. Let's figure this one out. I don't think Trump did that well in the debates, but he kind of did okay on election night.
He did.
So maybe,
I mean,
maybe going out and visiting all those folks might have mattered a little. Retail politics.
Look.
But can I? But I will.
He clearly was more aggressive campaigning for the presidency. Period.
Yeah, he wanted it.
Yeah,
he really wanted it. And I don't think that you would. It would be honest to say that Hillary Clinton didn't want it, but I think she expected it.
You realize
Trump wanted it.
1 month ago, we were talking about whether he would have to drop out of the race because of that video.
I know they're going to replace him with Pence or something.
You
smart
mean
move to stay in, I guess.
I want to break down Wisconsin tomorrow with you. It's really broken down,
yeah.
And there's going to be recrimination for what happened yesterday. I think there's going to be a change in leadership.
Well, no, that's assuming there's leadership. but can I just one final element, and I do think this is important to point out. So keep this in people's minds. Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote. And in California and Washington State, where they do mail-in voting, there's still a lot of votes that have not been counted. And the important thing to understand is we've just seen absolute proof of the horror of the Electoral College. Because you understand that if we're in France or in a whole bunch of countries around the world, where Hillary Clinton be president today. The reason she isn't president is because of an electoral college that was established in slave times to make sure that the will of the great mass of people was not reflected in presidential elections. So do not, as bad and as critical as we can be of what I think was a very poorly run campaign and, you know, all sorts of other flaws and Comey and all these other things, she still won more votes than Donald Trump did. And so as we think about our country, we should recognize that the picture of it is someplace that has fully embraced Donald Trump is not exactly accurate.
No. You know, the future of the Democratic Party, they were really looking to expand to the South and go to Arizona, and they were talking about Georgia for a while. And she put a lot of effort in North Carolina. She did not make one visit to Wisconsin. And
I know.
That is really
100%
it was malfeasance.
And also not showing up a lot in Michigan and a lot of other places where she, you know, if she wasn't doing 20 days of debate prep, she might have been able to visit. But here's an interesting little subtlety for you. I was trying to think of the last Democratic presidential candidate who didn't visit Wisconsin during the course of a campaign, once they're nominated.
Al Flanden?
And I'm not. No. Well, he was a Republican. I believe it was Grover Cleveland.
Oh.
Because I know William James Bryan did, and others. And, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. That it's, you know, we've had quite a dry spell there. I'm amazed that she didn't make the effort. And when you look at the numbers.
There was a point in time, considering it was economic anxiety that evidently made people in the upper Midwest primarily vote for Trump, although I think it's more complicated than that. There was a time when people would split their ticket and they would realize that Russ Feingold has far more authenticity on fighting bad trade deals and too much Wall Street corruption in Washington, but people evidently don't make those distinctions anymore.
I will suggest something to you that a way of thinking about it. I think we're becoming a parliamentary system. Not in our how we actually govern. We still have the branches of government. We still have, you know, division of powers. But I think we're becoming a parliamentary system in how we vote. And so this is going to make us ultimately rethink. You know, in the Senate race in Wisconsin, tens of millions of dollars were spent. It was incredibly intense. And to have it come out with the same vote as the presidential race, despite what happened with the Never Trump conservatives, despite what happened with, you know, all the political cross currents in Wisconsin, to have it come out the same, I mean, I think we just have to accept that people don't show up to think. They don't come to vote and say, "Oh, I got to look down that ballot and find somebody I can support on the, you know, in each office." Well, oh, I remember this about that.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like Russ Feingold ignored the rural parts of Wisconsin.
No, this is why. In fact, I can't tell you the number of people who told me today that their hearts sunk when they kind of realized what was going to happen with the Feingold race, and not even just Wisconsinites. This is the painful reality. If Trump had won, but Russ Feingold had won, what we could have said is, you know, Russ Feingold did it different. He went to the right places. He developed out real issues. I mean, and he showed us a model that even though Trump won, we have this alternative, and we can point to him, and it's a measure of hope and a way out of this. I think if Russ Feingold had won last night, people across this country would have been celebrating and embracing that reality. That it also would have brought Democrats within, very close to a place of control in the Senate. But when he didn't win, I just think it sucked the air out of, you know, people and out of our sense of possibility. I'm rarely this dark about a political result, but I think it was a devastating result.
Far worse.
I don't think it was Russ Feingold's fault. I think it was the fault of dynamics in our politics that have changed. But I can tell you, boy, I think progressive America could have used that one.
John Nichols from the Capital Times, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
On that,
good to talk to you.
On that chirpy little note.
Slysoffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.